For listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Ron Bietti.
You really want to hear him. I don't know why he uses this oaky Italian guy up here, but he does, and anybody's up here, he uses them, not just me. And so here's what I pray. Father God, this is such a simple message. Probably the most simple message I've done in 2017. But Lord, I think it's one of the most powerful messages. So guide, lead us, open our hearts right now. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Forget about what you're going to eat in a while. Forget about all that stuff. Put it on hold. I'm going to be real simple, but deep. This message has the ability to really change your life. Really change it if you listen to me. I'm going to read two passages, an Old Testament story and a New Testament. I'll take a passage there, and then I'm going to make three observations. And so let's start with 1 Kings chapter 17. Now, Elijah the Tishbite. Now, we have no history on this man. He comes out of nowhere as God's tool and instrument. Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab. Now, King Ahab was one of the most wicked kings that Israel ever had. And he's married to a woman that's even worse, Jezebel. And this takes a lot of guts to do what Elijah's doing. Say with me, it takes a lot of courage. For him to come out to Ahab, and he says, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, that's the secret to his life right there. He stands before God. He abides in the Lord 24/7. Surely there shall be neither dew nor rain for these years except by my word. The word of the Lord. Now, I want you to notice something here. This is the way we walk with God. We see the little secrets of the kingdom in the lives of these men. He delivers the word, and then the next word comes. You go to dot A, and then God gives B. God doesn't give B until you go to A. Do you understand that? He did what God told him to do. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, get away from here and go hide. We're going to maybe get into this next week. How that God is so practical sometimes. He said, you've given the word, now go hide. Go hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. It shall be that you will drink of the brook, and I've commanded the ravens to provide for you there. So he went and did according to the word. Now notice, he went and did according to the word. Whatever the word said to him, whatever God said to him through the word, it doesn't say he waited a month, thought about it a month or two. God spoke, he went. For he went and lived by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning. I can't even fathom this. I'm such a health nut. I'm going to eat bread and meat that's come by the mouth of ravens? I'm glad it's a different era and a different guy. They're a little rougher, tougher than me. But the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, bread and meat in the evening, and he would drink from the brook. It happened after a while that the brook, say with me, dried up. Are your brooks drying up? Because there was no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, see the process here? Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Now, the woman doesn't even know that God's commanded her to do that yet. Very interesting parts of the story, we'll see. Let me paraphrase the rest because of time. When Elijah goes to Zarephath, the first thing he sees as he comes to the city's gates is a widow out gathering sticks. And when he sees her, he says, "Hey there, could you go get me a drink of water? I'm awfully thirsty." And she heads off to get him some water. And he says, "While you're going, bring me back some bread too." And she says, "As your Lord God lives," she's a pagan, "as your God lives," not my God, your God, "as your God lives, I don't have any bread. I have a little handful of flour in a bowl and a little bit of oil in a jar. That's all me and my son have. And I'm gathering sticks to go make a fire and cook some bread cake. And we're going to eat it and then die. We're going to die." He says, "Do not fear." And then he goes on. He says, "For the Lord has said to me that your flour shall never run out and your oil shall never run out until the Lord brings rain in the land." And she went and did what he said. God had anointed that rhema. The Lord said. See, faith cometh from hearing the word. And she had faith to move. That faith propelled her to go do that. He says, "Go though, make the bread and give me some first. And then you'll have some for yourself and your son." There's a whole principle here. Give to me first. Tithe first, and you'll have finances left over. Give first. Think of others first. Listen to me closely. That's always God's way. It's the godly life. Do you understand, gang, that God measures out to you the same measure that you mete out to others, measure out to others? It's so simple today. "Pastor Ron, I'm not getting any love." It's because you're not giving out any love. It's a kingdom law. Whatever you measure out to others will be measured back to you. "Pastor Ron, I don't get any attention." You're not giving out any attention. "Pastor Ron, God won't help me with my finances." Why should he help you with your finances if you're not giving any to him? What are you in need of? Give some to God. This is going somewhere. This is God's way. When you give to others, when you think of others first, then he gives back to you. I had the best Christmas Eve I've ever had last Sunday night. My family wasn't able to be with us because Josh was at the Church of Ventura and Jim and Tara were the Church of Vegas. And I went and had $240 worth of $20 gift certificates to Walmart. And so I spent part of my evening in Walmart. And I walked around to people and I said, "Merry Christmas. Can I pay for those groceries? Merry Christmas, can I buy those toys?" You would not believe, it was crazy. There was something going on in Walmart, man. All the Walmart employees were following me going, "I know he's doing something wrong." And I said, "It's the Christmas spirit." People were crying, saying, "Man, God just used you to talk to me. He's saying things to me, whoa." When you put God first, God will put you first. Now listen, what I'm going to ask you to do today, living by faith, takes courage. But courage is acting in spite of fear. A little boy was caught in a fire, and for some reason his dad wasn't at the apartment complex. His dad comes running to the scene. The little boy's out on the balcony of a second floor, and there's smoke everywhere. And his dad says, "Son, jump, jump." He says, "Dad, I can't see you." He said, "Jump." He said, "Dad, I can't see you." He says, "Son, I can see you, and that's all that matters. Jump." Isn't that the way it is with God? We have all his promises. Jump. What if I make a mistake? You got Romans 8:28, "For my God causes all things to work together for good. So then we'll love him and call him right." We have all these promises. "I will meet all your needs. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you." We have all these promises. He says, do not trust the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean under your own understanding, because I'll be doing and saying things that's far above your understanding. Remember, my life theme is either he is or he ain't. Back to the story. The widow did as the man of God requested, and God did his old multiplication trick. I don't know how he does this. It's the same thing he did in the New Testament. Remember, he multiplies the fishes and the loaves on two occasions? I mean, how does this work? He multiplies her flour and her oil. I mean, the fishes and loaves, I mean, what do you break a piece off and it comes back, or I don't get it. Do you have the bread in the cupboard and you eat all of it today and you come back and it's all back there again tomorrow? I don't know how it works. But I know God can pull this off. Look at verse 16. It says, the bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah. I'll give you rhema. Don't focus your attention on what you don't have, but focus your attention on what you do have. Because God can take what little you have and bless it and make a lot more out of it. We need to grasp this idea that God will bless whatever's in your hands. He looked at David one day and said, hey, you got to go fight that giant. What's in your hands? David didn't go looking for a machine gun. He said, well, all I have is a sling. And God said, that'll work. I'll make it work. He looked at Moses one day, what do you have in your hand? A staff? He said, we'll make it work. He looked at Samson one day and said, what's that on the ground? It's the jawbone of an ass. He said, pick it up, I'll make it work. Here the widow says, whatever you have, I'll make it work. Look at Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance, or some versions say the substance. I've told you before, faith has weight to it, it's a substance. Faith is the assurance of things that you hope for, and the conviction of things not seen. This is crazy. I was thinking about the book of Joshua, because I was thinking about reading about, not the book of Joshua, but the story of Joshua. Excuse me. I was thinking about speaking on the story of Joseph today. Joseph had a dream. He was a spiritual dreamer. He went out to his brothers one day and he said, you know what, I've had this dream, man. I'm going to be a ruler in God's kingdom. I'm going to rule over all these people. And see, Joseph had never been poisoned by bad theology. He didn't know God couldn't speak to you in a dream. He didn't know the God that couldn't do miracles. He didn't know that God. And Joseph come out and he said, you know what? He said, man, I've had a dream. He said, and this dream is so real to me, I'm going to base my whole life around it. That's how real it was to him. He truly believed that God had a plan for his life. But none of the circumstances matched up. Joseph, I'm going to be a leader of God's people. Nothing matched up. But God was sovereign. If you go back and read Genesis 41, crazy how God was so sovereign in Joseph's life. I mean, see, his brothers didn't like him because he was super spiritual. They didn't like all these dreams from God and stuff. They didn't like it. But God said, I'm going to make it happen. And they threw him in a pit. You know the story. They threw him in a pit and went off and left him. But God caused the Ishmaelites to come along just at the right time. And the Ishmaelites just happened to have this desire to not hurt him, but to take him with them. Then Potiphar saw him and just happened to have this desire to purchase him. And then God just happened to give Joseph all this success when he was in prison. And somehow everybody said, we know he's successful because God's favor's on him. I don't know how they tied those two things together. It just so happened that in prison he met a baker and a cupbearer. It just so happened God made them have a dream. It just so happened God made him have the interpretation. It just so happened all of these things, I mean, God was sovereignly in control. He was moving all the pieces of the puzzle around. And he's doing that in your life now. If you're trusting God, he's moving all the pieces around. He's doing stuff, and you'll never see it until you look back with hindsight. That's why the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean into your own understanding. That's why the Bible says that. Because if you tried to figure it out, you'd mess it up. Amen. If you try to figure it out and get your fingers right, you're going to mess it up. It's called living by faith. It's amazing how that God starts to move when we start to move. All throughout the Bible, go show the priest you're healed. And on the way, they realize they're healing. All throughout the Bible, he says, pick up your pallet and walk. And he didn't know he was healed until he picked up the pallet and walked. We're called to be first steppers. In a nutshell, man, I need a drum roll right here. Are you ready for this? Here's the message, right? I need a drum roll right here. You guys are too cool. Are you ready for this? This is my message in a nutshell right here. Here it is. Put God first in your life and he'll invade the rest of your life with his presence and power. Put him first in your life. He'll invade the whole rest of your life with his presence and power. But God don't play number two. I say God don't play. I use bad grammar on purpose sometimes. I want you to know that. God don't play number two. Look at verse 2, Hebrews. For by faith, the men of old gained approval. That word approval is testimony. You cannot have a testimony without a test. Listen to me closely. Elijah was a man of great faith. We need to grasp this idea of living by faith. Once again, faith is a substance. Faith cometh from hearing a word from God. Faith comes when God speaks rhemas, and it's a substance. I used to scratch my head a lot when I would look around and see all the people that God was using. When I would look into Scripture and see all the people that God used mightily. When I would look and turn on TV and see PTL Club and a guy named Jimmy Baker, and I'd go, why? At a time before he went off, God seemed to be blessing him, that whole idea on the right and the left. And I look at TBN and the late Paul and Jan Crouch, and I go, why? It seemed like he was blessing them. They were buying stuff, and they were being fruitful, and on and on, and I couldn't make sense out of it. I thought, there's no charisma here. There's not any good-looking person leading this movement. I don't get it. Well, I looked in the Bible, and I thought, wait, David was an adulterer and a murderer. Why? A man after God's own heart. Abraham was a friend of God, and I'm going, why? He lied and gave his wife away to a harem, and I looked at Moses and he killed a guy, and Peter was basically, he flubbed up a lot. I don't know why. Why does God use some people a whole lot more than others? Why do some people seem to exude the presence of God and they have all these God stories? Every time you turn around, they have a God story, God story. While the rest of us, we have our big Bible on our coffee table and we go to church and we don't see God that much. But God's using these people all the time. Why? Why is their life so full of God stories and mine not? I need a drum roll again. You want to know why? Those people are risk takers, and the rest of them aren't. Those people will take risks for God, and the others will not. The others stay in their comfort zone, their safety zone. That's the difference right there. That's in a nutshell. It's not their pedigree. It's not that they're more holy. It's not that they're smarter. These people are crazy. They'll jump out and throw. They're like that guy at the gambling table says, all in. My house, my car, I'm put it all on the line. It's all in. Look at Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. Amen. What is faith? Faith is the ordering of your life around something that you know is real and you have nothing to prove it physically. Without faith, it's possible to please him. For he who comes to God, he who comes to God must believe that God exists and that he's a rewarder of everyone who seeks him. He's got to come out of his prayer closet going, amen and amen. Baby, you watch stuff change in the Vietti house. Because I've just got a hold of God, and I'm telling you, God's coming through for us. See, I used to live that way a lot more than I even do now. So it's so easy to stray from that. And you have to come back to that. Look at Hebrews 10:38. But my righteous one shall live by faith. If he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. You can be a good Christian. You can have good morals. Family Bible on the coffee table, attend church 3 times a week, pray over your meals, listen to Christian music. You can do all of that and yet not be fully pleasing to God. To be fully pleasing of God, you must be a risk taker. Now, before you get discouraged, oh, I can't do it. I'm talking about little things. I'm not talking about big things. I'm talking about when you tithe and put 10% of your money in the offering plate, that's risk-taking. You're saying, God, you better be real, because I could use that 10%. God, you better be real, man, or, you know, I'm taking a risk when I put that money in the plate. Look at Malachi 3, 8, and 10. Will a man rob God? Yet you're robbing me, but you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you're robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe, that's 10%, into the storehouse where you're being fed at, so that there may be food in my house, and test me. This is the only scripture I know in the Bible where it says, test me. God's begging you, test me. Bring the whole tithe in. Test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, Lord of angelic hosts. In other words, he's saying, test me because I have all these angels to put out to your disposal at any given time I want. I have all this power that I can direct your way any time I want. So test me if I will not open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Look at the Hebrew word test. A verb meaning examine, try, and prove. Look at Hebrews 11:4. I'll let you in a little secret here. Now he's doing this faith chapter, and this is the very first illustration he uses. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. He said the very first illustration I'm going to use is something you can all do, and that is give to God. He says Abel gave a better sacrifice than Cain, his brother, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. In other words, somehow God was blessing Abel more than he was blessing Cain, because Abel was giving God his first fruits. And first fruits, not just money, it's your time, your energy, making God number one. So Cain saw that Abel was being blessed, and later on he kills him because his jealousy and envy. And God said to Cain later on, he said, if you do right, your countenance will be raised too, and you would be blessed. People are adamantly suspicious when we start talking about money. And the only reason I bring it up is because money's the hardest thing to let go of. When you let go of money, God knows he has your heart. See, people get very suspicious going, oh, you pastors, you're going to take our money. Hey, we have a set salary. If you give millions, it doesn't make any difference. We still get the same salary. Nothing's changing with us. Your money goes for campus pastors. It goes for whatever we do, orphanages, churches, all of that stuff. Now, back to our idea, because you get very uncomfortable when I bring up money. I saw people start doing this during the first service, and everybody started, their body posture showed it. Hey, I just want you to be blessed. You're not giving to me, you're giving to him. It had nothing to do with me. I don't even get any money for my books, I want you to know. And I have 5 books, 6th one coming out in 7th. That all goes to the church, okay? And so don't worry about that. And my new one's almost on its way. I'm real excited. My children's book and the faith book, the God. Let's get back to this. Living by faith requires risk taking. Me and Walmart said, see, I want to make this easy for you. The risks are not big. You start little. For me to go up Walmart, I went right in people's faces. Merry Christmas. And they could have punched me or whatever. What do you got there? Who are you and what do you want? That he liked me after I gave him the two $20 coupons or gift certificates. Today, you took a risk. If you took your notepad out and pen or you got your phone out to take notes, you were taking a risk that somebody might laugh at you. That's a risk. That God likes that. I told you because we're writing this God story book right now. And I'm sending all these God stories to Pastor Rod. And one I didn't give him was, this was several years ago, so you remember, a lady wrote me on Facebook and said, I wasn't going to come to church Sunday because I didn't have any underwear. And I'm going, why are you telling me that? I don't need to know that kind of thing. You're telling me too much. She says, I wasn't going to come to church because I didn't have any underwear. Now, I verified this story. Well, let me, oh. Whoa, that was bad. Let me finish. Okay, listen. I verified that it's real, the story. Let me go on. She said, I wasn't going to come to church, I have any underwear. She says, I was walking out, gospel truth. A lady yelled across me, said, what size underwear do you wear? My mother died and I have all this new underwear I don't know what to do with. That happened within 8 hours. Now, that lady that yelled that out took a risk. Did she not? These are little risks that you and I can take. To boldly witness to the waitress who waits on you today, or even just boldly say, I want to invite you to my church, that's a risk. All those little things, you are really pleasing God. See, it's so easy to find a comfort zone and lock into it and stay there. Oh, the observations. I almost forgot the observations. We got 10 minutes. Can you hold on 10 minutes? Observation number one from our stories. When you live by faith, people are going to think you're crazy. See, they don't live in the same world we do. They don't hear what we're hearing. They don't feel what we're feeling. They don't see what we're seeing. They don't have the Holy Spirit. See, some people also will dislike you when you live by faith. Joseph's brothers didn't like him because he was a spiritual dreamer and he lived by faith. They did not like him. They threw him in a pit. They thought he was crazy. They hated him. I like something T.D. Jakes said. I love it. He says, I've never had a hater that was doing better than me. Get used to the fact that people are going to think you're crazy when you live by biblical faith. My income tax guy, you say, you give this much money to the church? What's wrong with you? You know, he doesn't hear what I hear, doesn't feel what I feel. Now, they might not come out and say you're crazy, but they'll say, what are you doing again? Why are you doing that again? When I quit my job, I had a really good job. I had great insurance. I had retirement. I had consistent salary. My mom and my dad didn't understand. They go, you're getting a Quonset hut? And you're going to start a church? And you have no Bible school? You don't have an organ or anything? And you're going to start a church? I said, Mom and Dad, God told me to. God told me to, and he confirmed it twice. They didn't get it. And I think my brother and sisters, I don't know what they thought now, although my older brother and sister are all members of this congregation now, which is really cool. I was Joseph. They wanted to throw me in a pit. They wanted to give me away when I was little, and now I'm their pastor. They didn't understand. They really didn't get it. Because during that era, you didn't go out and just start a church. No one did 43 years ago. Now, a word of caution. please don't live with a spirit of stupid and attribute it to God. Can I say that again? Please don't live with a spirit of stupid and attribute that to God. When God speaks, you will know it. When he wants you to do something, he'll make it so plain it'll be ridiculous. Don't start quitting your job and throwing away your medications. Don't do that. Say, well, God told me, you know. You better make darn sure God told you. And you better have confirmations. And again, I've walked with God 43 years. God doesn't start. You're not a new convert 2 years throwing away your medication and quitting your job. I was saved 3 decades before I threw away my chemotherapy. I heard God in my particular case. I'd been saved quite a few years before I quit my job. So don't be careful. When God wants to talk, he'll start. You start in small things and work your way up the ladder. Observation number 2, make me an answer to other people's problems. Listen to me. Elijah was an answer to the widow's problems. We seek God for answers to our problems. We pray to get answers to our problems. We hope to get answers to our problems. We search for answers to our problems, but we're not willing to be an answer to somebody else's problems. And I'm going to suggest to you today, the majority of my problems get solved when I'm an answer for somebody else's problems, because God causes it to happen. See, a lot of people pray for money, pray for money, pray for money. I tell young guys a lot, go out and find a problem and fulfill it. Answer other people's problems. Be an answer for their problems, and sometimes they'll throw money at you. They will sometimes. My son Josh was talking the other day. He said, Dad, remember the California Gold Rush? You know who the people were that were the most successful in the California Gold Rush? I said, no. He said, Dad, it was the people selling picks and shovels. Mm-hmm. Number 3, God uses drying up brooks and famines to accomplish his will in our lives. We see it all throughout the Bible. Ruth, there was a famine. Elijah, Joseph, Abraham, there were droughts and famines. Go back to the story of Elijah. God, you told me to come here. You told me to come here. I came here under your direction to drink of the brook of Cherith, and now it's drying up. God doesn't speak until sometimes the last moment. You imagine Elijah's out there sleeping by the brook of Cherith, and you hear the water running, and as the months go by, it's running a little less, a little less. Finally, there's a little pond, then there's a little mud puddle, and he's going, what's up? You called me here. You told me to come. You told me to do this, and now it's drying up. Get used to it. When God wants to move you on, he'll dry up the place that you're at. He'll start drying it up slowly to get you to move on, because he has something different for you. See, some are you in road B, and God wants you in road A, and he can't get you to road A till he makes it very uncomfortable in road B. It's the only way he's going to get you. Remember the eagle's nest? The mother eagle has little baby eaglets, and they're in the nest. They're all comfy, cozy, and she feeds them all the time. And when they get older and they need to fly, she'll start sticking stickers and sharp rocks in there and glass and stuff, and they start getting a little bit out of the nest. And pretty soon she's stuck so many sharp things there, they're right on the edge of the nest, and they're going, whoa, and she'll come by and give them a nudge and knock them out, and they have to learn to fly. Some of you, he's trying to get you out of the nest. He says, how do I know whether a trial is from God or the devil? Oh, that's elementary. That's kindergarten. Rebuke the devil, and if the trial changes, it was from the devil. If not, it probably isn't. And if you abide in God, you'll know. God causes brooks to dry up slowly to accommodate his divine timing. If the brook would have dried up all of a sudden, Elijah would have missed God's perfect timing in the next situation. He had to keep enough water there to keep him interested until this got set up over here. And then when this gets set up over here, he started really drying it up. I got to quit because the clock says I'm through. I'm trying to be shorter. Have you noticed? I've been a lot shorter the last 8 weeks. If you put God first, he'll invade your life with his presence and power everywhere. Put him first in your relationships, your finances, your spare time, your habits, your hobbies, and see what God does. I'm going to read this to you, and then I'm going to close. The following letter was found in a baking powder can wired to the handle of an old pump that offered the only hope of drinking water on a very long and seldom used trail across Nevada's Amargosa Desert. Here's what the written letter said. This pump is all right as of June 1932. I put a new sucker washer into it, and it ought to last for 5 years. But the washer dries out, and the pump has to got to be primed. Under the white rock, I buried a bottle of water out of the sun, cork end up. There's enough water in it to prime the pump, but if you drink some first, you won't have enough. Pour about 1/4 of the cup of water onto the pump and let the leather get wet. Then pour in the rest of the cup, medium fast, and pump like crazy. You'll get water. The well has never run dry. Have faith. When you get watered up, fill the bottle back up and put it back under the rock for the next feller. Signed, Desert Pete. P.S. Don't go drinking the water first, because if you do, you won't have enough to pump and enough for the next person. But if you do what I'm telling you, pump it and you'll get all the water you can handle. That would take faith. You go up and see that water and you're dying of thirst, but you have to pour it out and pour it all out to get the pump going. And then you have enough water. God has asked us to live by faith. That's risky living. But he wants to prove to us he's the God that the Bible says he is. And you'll only know when you live by faith. Start in small areas, not big areas. Start taking some risks. When you hear God speak into your heart, call someone and say, I believe God's telling me to call you. Start taking little risks. If somebody's hurting in Walmart, pray for them in Walmart. Take little risks. Invite people to church. Take little risks. Give to God's causes. I will continue next week. Let's pray this right here. Father God, I thank you that whenever we show up, you show up. And Lord, you're calling us to another level. We were entitling this theme for the next few weeks.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us our King, give us our love, give us our